Palm Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. So we got a Palm Sunday message. These pastors out here trying to provoke me. We're going to be nice. It's called the triumphant entry, just as the Bible says. Triumphant. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. We're not finna mess with nobody, Pastor. Amen. I did find, I saw something that I never saw before, though. In Matthew talks about, go to Matthew, the 21st chapter. First verse. I know y'all, all y'all Bible scholars already know where it's at. I had to look it up. Oh, shoot, I forgot these things. Well, you got to say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's enough people for me. And when they, the first verse, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you straightway. Ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. Now remember that section right there, when he said, you shall find a donkey, I'll just say donkey tied, and a colt with her. Hold on to that in your spirit. Then it goes on to verse 3. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah. Is that right? 99. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him up thereupon. And then it goes on, a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to the city, in Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. It's amazing what kind of information they got. But this would be the first time they ever seen him. Amen. Ain't that something? That they had already proclaimed him to be king. And this is the first time they saw him. But there's a problem with what Matthew says when he talks about, when he says, Jesus said, go get me the colt, the donkey, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If you check Luke, the 19th chapter, and you check John, the 12th chapter, and you check Mark, you find out that there was only one donkey, not two. You say, well, why would Matthew tell a story like that then? Because a lot of times they tell stories the way they see them. Now, he didn't actually see Jesus riding a donkey and a colt, because see, if you, the donkey speaks of a male, and the colt speaks of a female. Now, he only saw Jesus on the one, so why would he put in there two? Well, could it be because he didn't understand Hebrew at that time? So he didn't get the right, how many people you know that tell you that we don't need to understand Hebrew or Greek in order to know what the Bible means? Well, you don't have to be able to speak it, but if you want to know what the words truly mean, it's a good idea to just try it. Amen. You might like it.
Amen.
Instead of always discouraging people, telling them that they don't need to know. How can you not need something that was written in Hebrew, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek? How are you going to really understand the Bible? So what we do, we read the Bible and we take it for face value. And that ain't what God is.
Amen.
God is a revelatory God. And he wants us to have clear-cut understanding of what he's saying. Yeah. If we don't have clear-cut understanding of what he's saying, how can we live by the word of God.
Amen.
Well, we can live. What we'll do, we'll live by what we think it means. And then when you do that, you make things up as you go. So here we have Matthew. And I was always saying, why not a horse? Reverend TC, I would have rather rode in on a horse than on a donkey. And he straddled the donkey. You know, that means sitting sideways. He didn't ride it like you normally ride a horse. And because their first lady rode a horse, when was that? 2014. And that rascal scared me. Because all I ever watched about horses was bloopers. The horse taking off and dragging people and bucking people. And so I couldn't get it out of my mind. I said, Diane, I hope this horse don't buck. I hope he don't take off. I did something one time and he tried to get going. That was you did it? Look what happened. The bees? Ooh, Lord. But Jesus chose, he wanted a donkey. Well, anytime you talk about horses in the Bible, it's got something to do with what? War. But when you hear about donkeys, it deals with humility. Jesus wanted to go into Jerusalem, letting them know that he was a humilitized God. Or that he was a king, like a humble king.
Yeah, man.
Not a vicious king. Uh-huh. Like the one they were already serving. Right. Like the one some of us have served. Or glory to God. He said, did he say glory to God? He said, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied. Now, it just so happened that donkey just, how many think that was just something that just happened? Just out of the ordinary, there was a donkey tied someplace and it was waiting on him. Or could it have something to do with scripture?
Yes.
Prophetic scripture in the Old Testament when it said, you got it, can you read that for me? Yeah, Zechariah 9:9. I know that. He already told me I was going to throw out scriptures and he wasn't going to have them up there. I didn't want to make him into no liar. So Zechariah was already prophesying about what this was going to take place. Well, a lot of folks, I've heard some people free preach that the reason Jesus did it was because Zechariah already said it was supposed to be done. But I think it was purposed. It was purposed that everything took place the way it took place. Why? Because it presented God as a humble and humility God, or a king that wasn't pressed and crazy acting, but he had humility and he was mindful of other folks. And I thought it was strange that at the same time they were cutting down trees and laying them before him. And another thing that we fail to pay attention to is that they put their coats on his back, on the donkey's back, so that Jesus could sit on them, so that he would not touch the donkey. But he would be sitting on him, but he wouldn't touch him, because there was clothing in between him and the donkey. There was a reason for that, because the donkey represented humility and humbleness. But the donkey also represented smell. That's why the Bible says all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Because sometimes we get uppity and we think we all that in a bag of Lay's potato chips. When in actuality, we're not. We're just as humble. We should be just as humble and meek as the next person.
Amen.
So that we remember. So here we have Jesus doing this. And another thing about the donkey and the colt, if you study some of the Hebrew, you'll find out that it's a phrase. It's not actually saying that there's two animals there. Both words are actually talking about the same animal. See, that's why it's so important to really study your Bible. You know, that's why I remember a scripture that God reminded me of last week, and it's called study. Think because you think you, what does it say? I'm going to make y'all work today. You got Zechariah here?
Yeah.
Here we go. Read that for me, sir.
Zechariah 9 and 9. Say, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of the donkey.
See, that's what Zechariah prophesied. So that's what Matthew said. He said exactly what the scripture said.
Yeah.
But it wasn't right. That's why you have to search the scriptures for in them you think you have everlasting life. The word search means to break into, tear apart, get a dissect. Thank you, sir. Get a good understanding of what God is trying to tell us. It's going to be a whole lot of folks that are going to miss their visitation with God because they understand the word the way they want to understand it and not the way God has given it to us to understand. So when you think you've got 20 days, you might only have 3. You get ready in 3 days, you might, like 2000, when everybody was buying up all that water. I know somebody had a basement full of water. They were preachers. I mean, tons of water. Why? Because they had a bad interpretation. For some strange reason, Sister Lorraine, they thought Jesus was coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Something was going to happen to the earth. Lo and behold, something has been happening to the earth ever since Genesis.
Come on now.
It ain't nothing about to change. It's going to keep happening. Things, times going to keep changing. Seasons going to keep changing. Things going to get crazy. They got hurricanes in Texas now.
Come on.
Yeah. Last week they had almost 3 inches to 4 inches of snow. Some place they ain't supposed to get snow. It's cold in California. What we get here, we expect. We expect to wake up and walk. I walked out the other morning, and I said, oh, I don't need all this cold stuff. It was about 60-something degrees. And then the next day, I go outside. It was freezing. I looked up at him and said, God, you got jokes, don't you? Knowing perfectly well that God didn't have nothing to do with it. We did it.
Amen.
Man has figured out a way to change the seasons.
Yep.
Just because God said we're going to create man in our image and our likeness mean that we're going to put us in him and give him knowledge beyond reason. He already knew that we were going to mess stuff up. Because we were going to get so smart that we were going to start sending stuff to the moon.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff. Blowing up stuff. We're going to figure out a way to create nuclear weapons. Not knowing that from the fallout, the atmosphere was going to be affected.
Come on now.
Look at Alaska. They scared about Alaska because ice is melting quicker than it gets to freeze. It's warmer places in Alaska than it ain't supposed to be. Heck, the bears don't know when to hibernate and when not to. They're confused too. That's why God said all of creation is waiting for a man to get his act together.
Come on now.
Jesus knew that when he was riding in Jerusalem. I bet he had a flashback. He saw everything. And he probably said, Oh, Lord. Or, as I like to say, Lord, help my time. Because things are taking place. And as Jesus straddled this mule, and he rode this mule on top of the clothing that they had placed upon there, people were also throwing their clothing in the street along with the trees. They were separating themselves from the very thing that represents flesh or that holding them down. They said, here comes Jesus of Nazareth, because we didn't nobody tell me who he is. See, with Jesus, there was more than just a triumphant entry when he rode on the donkey. It was a triumphant entry because at that specific time, he had started reaching the hearts of men.
Yeah.
Man.
That was the triumphant entry.
Man.
That man recognized that he was the King of Kings.
Yeah.
That man recognized that he was the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
That man recognized that he was the Messiah. Yeah. You tell me that a triumphant entry?
Yeah.
Man.
He had made his triumphant entry when he got to the outskirts of Jerusalem.
Amen.
When he came out of the water. And the Father opened up the heavens. How they get rid of this, I have no idea. And the heavens opened up, and the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Yes, Lord.
And we know the word beloved means special appetite. He's letting us know. This is my beloved Son. It's my beloved Son whom I am well pleased in. And there's a reason he was well pleased, because he'd already saw that Jesus was going to go through with the sacrifice.
Amen.
But he first had to ride to Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, what's the first thing he does? Go into the temple. And start throwing stuff out. Cleaning it out. He said, you made the house of God into turn into a den of thieves. I'm paraphrasing. He wasn't just talking about the place itself, but he was talking about them.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Yes.
You have become a den of thieves.
Yeah. Right.
You can only make what you become. Because only that's going to come out of a man is what's in him. And if you put garbage in your system, that's what's going to come out of your system. That's why so many folks are arguing the word of God today.
Because
they don't listen to somebody else's talk instead of studying for themselves to find out exactly what God has for them.
Come on now.
My God.
Amen.
Help my time. So as we look at that, it's poetry. It's actually poetry. It's called synonymous parallelisms. When two lines of poetry say the same thing, but only in different words. So it's a good thing that we understand what God is doing here. And it's hilarious that we just run with the word and decide what we wanted to say and think it's all right, but it's not. We have to say what God wants us to say.
Amen.
So our understanding will be enlightened. And I like the fact that Jesus did this triumphant entry not only into Jerusalem, but into the hearts of men.
Amen.
You have to believe that everybody he come in contact with, he searched their hearts. He knew where they were before they even opened up their mouths and let him know where they were. Because we have the strange and uncanny ability to let folks know where we are just by the first 10 words that come out of our mouths. Ask me how I know. I run into people every day, and when the first sentence they tell me, I already know where they at. I'm not smart, but I know that wherever he said, that's in him. So that lets me know where he's at or where she's at. But it comes from what? Studying the scripture. Saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. I thought that was strange first time I read it, first lady, because I'm trying to think, what did he do? Straddle the donkey and then rest his feet on the on the colt, that's kind of hard to do. And that's the way we are. And Jesus knew that. He knew that men will listen to whatever they want to listen to, and that will become the truth. You better find out what the truth is for yourself.
Amen.
I tell people all the time, don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself. Amen. Take it, research it, see if it be true. And you'll find out a whole lot of stuff.
Amen.
I have preached stuff, and then 2 or 3 months later, God will say, you know, you preached that wrong. I said, yeah, right. I preached it like you gave it to me. He said, no, you preached it like you thought I gave it to you. Now I want you to preach it the way I'm going to give it to you. So then I had to get up and backtrack. You know, weeks, months ago I made a mistake. Let's clarify. Because I don't want you to think for 1 second that I know it all.
Amen.
I'll tell you in a heartbeat. I don't know, man. Go ask Pastor Keys. I send folks to him all the time. Because Rev be scared of skitterbutting it. He be gone. Once Pastor leave the restroom, he gone. So, it's important to understand that Jesus understood all this stuff. His triumphant entry was to get into the hearts of men and to show them and give them understanding of who they're really supposed to be.
Right.
And what they're really supposed to be doing. We spend so much time in the Old Testament, we forget about the epistles. Something else God was showing me. Just like Jesus made a triumphant entry, one other guy made a triumphant entry. Paul. Folks say, you're always talking about Paul's epistle. Well, because the epistles teach us how to stand. The epistles teach you how to talk. The epistles teach you how to love one another. Amen. The epistles, well, my God, sound like the epistles tell you how to teach you how to be a born-again believer.
Amen.
Yes,
and a part of the body of Christ.
Yes, it does.
Somewhere I read that the Bible tells us that the Old Testament is just an example. You can't live by it. Why folks are trying to live by it, I have no idea. When Jesus made his triumphant entry, he was bringing into a new era.
Right.
What he was actually doing, he was bringing into a new dynasty.
Amen.
He was saying all that stuff done away with.
Amen.
I'm the good shepherd.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
You can't get to my Father except you go through me.
Amen.
When he was coming into Jerusalem, that's what he was saying without opening his mouth. I'm here, and you need me to get to him.
Amen.
Pharisees didn't like that. They didn't like a challenge. Jesus was a challenge to them.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they were jealous of him, but he was a challenge. Every time they thought about it, they heard his name. They wanted to put some of the folks that got miracles to death to shut them up. But see, Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, he changed the whole scenario, everything.
Amen.
He changed the area. He changed the men. He changed the women.
Amen.
Because he entered into their hearts.
Amen.
Folks say, I don't believe in God. Well, if you don't believe in him, why are you calling him?
Right.
You can't deny stuff unless you know it exists.
Right.
As Jesus rode in Jerusalem, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they saw him coming.
Uh-huh.
He rode in right there at the temple.
Yeah.
And he made his triumphant, his powerful entry. And see, it just don't stop there. When he met Paul on the road to Damascus, you say, what does that have to do with the triumphant entry on Palm Sunday? It has everything to do with the triumphant entry and Palm Sunday, because that's the start of men giving their heart and lives to the king.
Come on now.
And he needed Paul because he already knew this thing was been purposed from the beginning of time.
Amen.
God already knew everything that was going to take place. He already knew that Paul was going to be one of the most vicious, but the most knowledgeable,
Amen.
way.
Amen.
So he set up that Paul would be on the road to Damascus.
Right.
And guess who met him?
Jesus.
Guess what we got now? A triumphant entry.
Amen.
Because he didn't bring Paul up to where he was. He came down and met Paul where he was.
Amen. My Lord. Message.
You're going to always be met with controversy or trial when you make a triumphant entry, baby.
Amen.
Every time you show forth the nature and the character of God in a situation where it ain't none existing, you make a triumphant entry. That's Jesus making a triumphant entry through you.
Amen.
Say, well, today is Palm Sunday. Every day is Palm Sunday.
Say it.
Because every day you're supposed to make a triumphant entry. You're supposed to let somebody know that Jesus is the triumphant one.
Come on now.
Every day.
Amen.
Not just on Sunday. Some of us serve God just on Sundays.
My Lord.
You better wake up and smell the coffee.
Amen.
Mess around and come on a Wednesday. You're going to be making a triumphant entry, but it ain't going to be with Jesus. I figure I done went through too much already to miss my visitation.
Come on now.
And I ain't trying to hold anybody's feet, Brenda. I'm trying to take all of it.
Amen.
You sure can't get away now. And that's the mindset we need to have, that we're going to take all of him.
Say it, not just parts of him. Say it.
In his triumphant entry, he was doing more than that. So he runs into Paul. Well, he knows Paul's there. He didn't actually run into him. I'll say Paul ran into him. Because he thought he was going somewhere else to do his dirt.
Amen.
But he made a triumphant entry because Jesus sent him to who? When he got through with them, what did he do? He started ministering to what? The Gentiles. Which we is. Which we are.
Amen.
That's another triumphant entry. I know for a fact when Jesus came in my life, it was a triumphant entry. Because he had to fight through muck and clay and mire and all kind of stuff. Because he had been calling me for a minute and I kept resisting. Because I was having too much fun in the streets. As Brother Andy, he can tell you about some of my stuff. He never said nothing, though. He never got on me about it. I guess he figured sooner or later he can't get away from God. He ain't going nowhere. So he going to be around here for a while. So I'm sure God going to do something in his life. When you least expect it, God will enter into your heart and your life and change your life.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
But you have to be one change.
Come on.
Already.
Come on.
Amen.
Can't do this by ourselves.
I'm never satisfied.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. But where I am in God. Because I know there's always somewhere more that you can ascertain in your life.
Amen.
I want to make a triumphant entry.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. Not in heaven.
Amen.
And I sure don't want to make one in hell. But I want to make a triumphant entry into somebody else's life.
Come on.
That they might know Jesus is real.
Yes.
That he is life.
Come on, Pastor.
I got a therapist. This young man cracks me up. First time I heard him say it, I said, "Now, that's interesting." You ask him how he's doing, he says, "I'm living the life." He ain't saved. He ain't born again. From him and I talk, he don't even know God, probably. He just know about God. But he, when he says it, you have to believe what he says. He said, "I'm living a life, dear." You have to believe what he says because he's convincing enough to make you believe it. That ought to be our testimony. I'm living a life. I'm living a life in spite of me not having enough money. I'm living a life in spite of me being sick in my body. I'm living a life in spite of the persecution. I'm living a life in spite of the things I want and don't have, and the things I do have and don't need.
Yeah.
I'm still living a life.
Amen.
I'm lived a life because of the triumphant entry that God made into my spirit, my heart, yes. and transformed me by the renewing of my mind.
Yes.
Like the bad boy is being renewed on a daily basis.
Yes. Glory. Yes. Glory, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Every time we do what God has told us to do instead of doing what we want to do, we're making a triumph, we're making a splash.
Glory to your name,
Father.
You're worthy.
Ooh, Lord,
you're worthy.
Can't stop us. They can't stop us. And sometimes people just think we're a joke. Sister Vanessa, I got invited to church. I meant to tell you, I forgot. You hear about it? I got invited to church. Friday night at 8 o'clock. A memorial service. Don't tell me that you don't worship like I do and then invite me to your church.
Right.
Because I ain't coming. And I was really nice. I usually look for an opportunity like that. You and I'm talking to you? I'm going to make you hang up on me. But I was nice. I listened. And when they got through, I said, you know what? I'm going to be perfect honest with you. I won't be there. I don't want you to have no idea that I might show up because I'm not. You already told me you don't believe like I believe. You already told me that what you know about the Bible is totally right and what I know is totally wrong. Wow. You told me that in just one sentence. And then you're going to invite me? Like it's supposed to change my mind about my God?
Right.
You mess around, I'll make a triumphant entry. Everybody that called themselves a Christian ain't a born again believer.
Tell it. Amen.
But Jesus had, the plan, if we could figure out God's plan, we'd all just fall out. We never get up because we continually be worshiping God.
Yes.
Amen. Can you believe that God had already purposed
yes.
that we will become the sons of God?
Yes.
Us.
Amen.
Yes.
Not just the Jews, but us.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't get it twisted now. You ain't on the level that the Jews are. God been putting up with them jokers. I don't know how many years. He kill a few. He save a few. He drown a few. He raise a few. But thank God, guess what? Because of grace and because of the life of God in us, we can't be killed. This body might fall out. But so late.
Come on now. My Lord.
I heard somebody, a couple guys arguing about the soul go to the dirt or where to go to the dirt or, you know, it's going to heaven. Well, it don't say. If you find it in the Bible where it says when you die, you're going straight to heaven, let me know. See, we self-interpret scripture.
Yeah.
And somebody will always believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're looking for something to believe in.
Right.
So why don't you give them the truth in the beginning?
Amen.
Because it said the truth shall
make
you free. It didn't say set.
Right.
It said make.
Right.
That's an authoritative word that says once you get the word in you, it's going to do something in your life.
It has to. It has to.
If it don't do something in your life, it's not God's word.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's another man's idea.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you.
I've heard lots of ideas since I've been here. And none of them changed my life.
Right. Amen.
I had two, there was two preachers that came through here. Don't actually remember their names. But each time I had a job of, when they got through with walking them back to the little thing and into the office. Then this one from Ohio, he looks at me and he says, young man, let me tell you something. If you ain't already preaching, preach the word. Don't deviate from the word. And another guy, prophet, somebody, he says, Dennis, make sure that you preach the word only. Don't preach what you hear other men say. Preach the word the way God tells you to say it. And I've been doing it ever since. And it gets you a lot of trouble sometimes. But that's all right. God likes trouble. Because to give him a reason to back up his word, he'll fight your battle for you.
Yeah.
It's time for us, as the saints of God, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talkers, shouters, to start representing God the way he wants to be represented.
That's
in earth,
right.
With the character and the nature of a king.
Amen.
With love and peace and understanding.
Yes. Yes.
Referencing people like you want to be referenced.
Yes.
Amen.
We can't always. That's good. Now I know where it's at. I can see that, but I can't see this. So we have to make sure that we represent God.
Yeah.
And God says, who is that? In Romans, the 8th chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the 29. What did God say about that? Yeah. How many of you read that? Yeah. Read that with me. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. How many see that word predestinated? That's part of the triumphant entry. The predestinated means that God already had ordained and set forth in your life who you were to become. Now, it's up to you to make the decision. You can only make the decision through the word of God. You can't make it by listening. You have to study. Guys always tell me, Rev, I brag about how they done read the whole Bible. What you get out of it? Besides knowing it's Genesis and Revelation. What good to do to read the whole Bible when you get nothing out of it? It's, with all you're getting, get what? Get some understanding. Sometimes it takes a little bit more than just reading.
Yeah, they do.
You got to get into this thing. So God already knew. It already foreknew and also did predestinate. For whom he did foreknow, for whom he knew before you was in your mother's womb.
Right.
He predestinated or ordained or set forth that you would become the Son of God. And Jesus would be your eldest brother. He would be the firstborn among all of us.
Man.
How do we treat the firstborn? Firstborn. In most cases, thought he was the stand, didn't he? My oldest brother used to remind us all the time, I'm the oldest. At that time, we didn't care, did we, Rob? Because we knew how to practice body ministry. We'd beat up each other, but ain't nobody else gonna beat us up. Just like he come up in the house and we jump on him. See? And guess what? We're doing the same thing today. Jesus coming in the house and we want to jump on him. Instead of listen to him and hear what he has to say.
Amen.
We jump on Jesus by denying who he really is.
Amen.
We know the Lord, but we actually deny who he really is because we're not allowing who he is to manifest in our lives.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
It takes more than a palm tree.
Come on now.
And a bunch of leaves.
Come on.
Right.
Or tree bark.
Come on.
For you to meet Jesus. Yeah. I thank God that he saw fit to let me in.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. And since he let me in, I'm staying in. I'm not going to let nobody take me out.
Amen.
How many hear me?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm going to ride into Jerusalem. I already know how they feel about me. I know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the people said, Hosanna in the highest. They ain't seen him. All they might have heard about him the word was going around about Jesus.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There's a prophet that's over on the side of Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
That's doing some wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
Just like today, all they thought about was the healing.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
They didn't know that he came to deliver their souls.
Uh-huh.
And to set them free.
Yeah.
And free indeed. But thank God, we are now the firstborn. What does that next verse say? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also what?
Oh.
You believe you've been called?
Amen.
You can't be called unless you believe you've been called.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not talking about me saying, hey, listen, Brenda. You ain't gonna get nothing out of that. But when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are. That means something. Because every time I go to him, I'm making a triumphant entry into the power of God.
Yeah.
My Lord.
Thanking him for deliverance.
Yes.
Thanking him for peace of mind.
Yes.
You know what? I can deal with pain as long as I got peace of mind. Yes. I can deal with not having any money. I don't like it. As long as I have the peace of God. Yes. You'll be amazed at what you can deal with when you have the peace of God. It's time for you to make a triumphant entry into some peace.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 There's a lot of ways we can make a triumphant entry. There's things that Jesus did on that entry, on his way to Jerusalem, while he was in Jerusalem, that is a plan for our lives.
Come on now.
That's why we have to really study and see what he was doing when he did what he did. Shoot, he could have just walked into Jerusalem. It was something about the coat. Not only was he making sure that scripture came alive and was fulfilled. That's exactly what it was fulfilled. But he made it living.
Amen.
It became living. When you live according to the word of God, because of scripture, you make the word a living being.
My Lord.
You being the being and the word being the life that's flowing forth out of you.
Yeah.
So I thank God that we have that right. And now, then he also justified. And when we justified, then he glorified. That ain't talking about when you're dead. That's talking about now. When you lift up your hands and praise God, you're glorifying God. When you tell somebody about you can have peace like I have in God, that's glorifying God. It cost us something to glorify God. But thank God, as long as we've been justified by God, we've been called by God, redeemed by God, then we have the right.
The right?
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
You know what? If more people say, they said, we could never really be like God. But you can act like him.
Amen.
You can straddle your mule and be at peace. Somebody has got to be separate.
Amen.
What good is it talking about God is good and we don't live the life like he good?
Amen. Right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Everybody stand.
Amen.
It's time for us to make a triumphant entry. Stop always waiting on somebody to take us in and go in.
Amen.
You got just as much right. You know, I bowl a lot, and when certain people come into the bowling alley, they're going to bowl, and you already know, you know, one of the young guys that a sub on one of the teams I bowl on, his average is 232. So when you see him walk in and put his equipment up, guys get intimidated. But then other guys say, I put my pants on the same way he do. But you fail to realize, they might not be as loose as his. Let me understand what I'm saying. It don't matter if you put that don't mean nothing. That's just a saying.
Yeah.
I put my pants on the same way he do too, but I am not finna get in my money. And just yesterday, he shoot 278, 279, 240 something, and shoots 800. Like it wasn't nothing. I can't bend over and get it, bro. Just leave it. When I drop something, I'm just leaving it.
Drop your wallet.
Drop my wallet. My wallet. Okay. I'm gonna drop right over by you. That's right. When you, if you can get over to get it, just put something in it, man. That way it won't be a wasted drop. I don't know why y'all mess with me. Ooh, that's sweet. It's good. Oh, you finally got hot, huh, Red? Good job. Okay. Amen. Everybody take somebody by the hand, please. I like that we can come to church and have a good time. Enjoy ourselves.
Amen.
We've gotten to the place where we take church too personal. And it ain't supposed to be personal. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to influence your life in a way it encourages you and lets you know that, dog, all the stuff I've been through this week, I've made it through it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if I made it through that, I'm most certainly going to make it through this week coming.
Yes, my Jesus.
Every week, every Monday morning you get up, it's like making a new triumphant entry. First lady said, I'm going to make the donuts. I said, put some jelly in these. I want to get the best out of it. For years, I never said nothing. And one morning, I just said, well, put some jelly in. Because God promised us the best. Because he's called us and chose us to be the best.
That's right.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that as we make our entries into life, that, Father, everything we go through, that we be triumphant in it.
Yeah,
because your word says, if you be for us, who can be against us?
That's right.
Your word says, no weapon that's ever formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
That's what you said.
Yes.
I might have said paraphrasing, but it's the same as your word.
Yes.
I pray that you allow the power of the living God to be within our lives, Lord God. That everything we see, everything we hear, everything we do, we might be triumphant in.
Yeah.
But we know we have to do it through you, and we have to know we do it through humility and being humble, Father.
Yeah.
Even as Jesus was humble, when he rode into Jerusalem on the side of a donkey, they gave him praise. Not because of the way he was riding, not because of the way he was dressed, but because of the anointing that was flowing forth from his life. So let that same anointing flow forth from all of our lives, Father, that we touch lives just by being and them coming in contact with us. Whether we open our mouths or not, let it be so, Father. Lord God, don't let nobody leave this building this morning without you having touched their spirit. You haven't encouraged them, or you haven't strengthened them. Father, you have fortified them. Father, in the name of Jesus, some of us going through things that are just downright horrible. But Father, we can walk with pep in our step and a smile on our face because we know that you give us victory and we shall be triumphant in whatever it is. So let that power rest within us that we might show forth your praises in this earth. Father, I thank you right now for ministering to all of us, touching all of us. Father, in Jesus' name, amen.